We want to thank you for this opportunity of inviting us to share with you our journey. It's a privilege when God does something in your life that he gives you the opportunity to be able to share it with other believers as well. What we have been asked to share with you is our foster and adoption journey, a journey that God put in motion, not a journey that we had planned. But once God pulled out our hearts and we listened, everything fell into place. There are a lot of people in this congregation who know our story, but for those who don't, we'll start from the beginning. In October 2010, Jerry and I were blessed with a beautiful baby boy, Sheldon. It was amazing what blessings and sleepless night a baby brings to your life. The thrill of starting a family. Then 2 years went by, and getting pregnant a second time wasn't happening. This is when God started his work. In 2012, early October, we had a guest speaker from Compassion Canada come and lead our service. He shared how he got involved with Compassion and what it stood for. What this man also shared was a very small portion of his personal life. It was this part of the service that struck me. He talked about his adopted sister. He shared that his mom and dad were foster parents, and at this time, children in care were bounced from home to home. They had one little girl in their home, and it was time for her to move. His parents were adamant that she was staying with them, and they fought to keep and then wound up adopting this little girl. During this story, I started to uncontrollably cry, and I kept thinking to myself, why on earth does this story affect me so much? As I look back, I realize that this was the start of God nudging at my heart. That same month, there was an issue of Focus on the Family magazine we received talking about adoption. I read the article and felt a tug at my heart. So one day, out of the blue, I just passed the magazine over to Jerry and just said, just read this and tell me what you think. All Jerry did is read the title, looked at me, and said, I have always been open to adoption. God had already prepared Jerry's heart.
In that same magazine, it was advertising a conference on adoption in Cambridge. Being we're from Woodstock, that's not too far from our home. We decided to put our thoughts in motion and attend. We went and listened to people sharing their experiences and stories, and had some of our own questions answered. As we drove home, we knew we had to listen to God's call. So we phoned Oxford County's CAS, or Children's Aid Society, the next week. A CAS worker came to our home, explained the program and our options. Our options were straight fostering, straight adoption, or foster with a view. When the worker left, we had some decisions to make. Both Nicole and I had felt led to foster with a view, which means we are foster parents, and if the biological family aren't able to care for the child, we then are able to adopt the child. To be a foster and adoptive parents, you have to attend training and go through a very detailed questioning of your life, and then you wait. October 15th, 2013, that wait was over. There was a baby girl who needed a foster home. November 1st, we brought a very tiny bundle home with us. Her name was Chloe. What we had not anticipated is the emotions that came along with making the decision to foster. We still remember bringing Sheldon home, the feeling of pride, joy, and excitement. For whatever reason, we had pictured bringing Chloe home from the hospital would be exactly the same, only to find out really fast that we brought home another mom's baby. We had to work on building a bond with this beautiful child, and that bringing this baby home has also introduced our family to another woman's life.
So we just started, just did this introduction to this series called Clear Signals last week. And we're gonna be taking our time as we go through it. There's no insert, there's nothing on YouVersion this morning for you. The verses are written out somewhere in here, you'll have to find them. See whether you could locate them. They're kind of secretly placed inconspicuously around. And that they're there to remind us. And it's interesting in the way these are presented that our Father has given such prominence. And that's really where we want to start today, with our Father. You don't have to read much further than that. You actually want to practice that? Our Father, you want to say that? Let's try it one more time. Our Father. Our Father. That poses both an invitation and a difficulty. It's an invitation just much in the way that Dean and Ainsley have just sung about. It's an invitation of God waiting for us, essentially, to come home into Him. But it also is a difficulty in these times, in this culture, where many of us have grown up in fractured relationships with our immediate family. And as soon as we say, our Father, that brings up all kinds of imagery, memories, difficulties in our hearts. And sometimes that is what prevents us from understanding just how much God as Father truly loves us. We run the danger of projecting our earthly difficulties, our earthly relationships onto who God is. And perhaps, well, actually, I know that it's a good reminder for us to maybe change that around, to think first about who does God say that He is as Father, and to find the freedom in the relationship that He desires to have with us. And if we can do that first, then that redefines the rest of our relationships. I promise you that. And so the question that I ask at the start today is simply this: why don't we pray? Why don't we pray? Knowing how much God loves us, knowing all that we have going on in our lives, why don't we pray? And I'd love to hear your response to that. You can feel free to text me or write me a note or send me an email, or you could actually have a conversation with me. That's all right. And it's not a test, but it's really, it'd be interesting to know what is it about that goes on with you as you maybe try to quiet yourselves, or maybe you don't. Maybe it's like driving up to a drive-through window and thinking of the list of things that are before you and trying to speak these into the speaker, to this unknown voice that's just around the corner. Maybe it's like that. So, but why don't you pray? And you think, well, I have to have enough money to cover these prayers. I have to have enough. I have to be ready enough to be able to cover what I'm asking for. There's all kinds of reasons why we don't pray, why we don't take the time to, as we looked at in Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 27, the idea of prayer is to draw close to God, to lean in, to listen to Him, to speak intentionally then to Him, and then to be ready to act. That's what prayer means. That's the idea of prayer that God gives throughout the Bible. And that's what we're going to be unpacking over the course of these next number of weeks. And so this whole idea of prayer is significant for us, and God's fatherhood is significant for us. One of the books that I'm going to be referring to over the course of this time has been recommended to me, actually, right before I went to El Salvador. Tim called me and said, you got to read this book. And I said, okay. Always looking for books when I travel, especially. And so it's called Radical Prayer. And the author, Manny Mill, he's a pastor, and he says this: God the Father's love is real, it's liberating, transforming, and compelling. It actually fits well into the lyrics that you just sang. Knowing this is essential to overcoming the roadblock of fear and developing a sense of urgency in our prayers. He says this as he identifies these three things about fear. Why don't we pray? He says they're all rooted in fear. Fear of having our sins exposed, fear of pain, knowing the idea that we want change, but we actually don't want change at the same time. We know that any change is hard, and so there's a bit of a pain, especially when it comes to spiritual transformation, but learning to let go. We fear losing control, ultimately. We fear of having our sins exposed. We fear pain. We fear losing control. We want to be the author of our own destiny. But he says, knowing these things and knowing then about how intense God's love for us is, that should help That is the beginning point of overcoming these roadblocks and developing urgency in our prayer. I want you to notice one thing about this prayer that Jesus has given to us, this template. It's not a prescription. It's not a mantra. It's an example, but through which we come into God's presence. He doesn't use formal language. To enter into prayer is not to start, Mr. God. It's not to take a number and sit in, like if you go to Service Ontario and you walk in, you ever walk in there, you see the number on the screen, you think it's, okay, it says 65. They're now serving 65, and you go and you pull the number, and yours is 94. And you got to wait, and you think, I don't have time for this. Sometimes we approach God that way, don't we? I don't have time for God to hear it and take his time to listen to me. I need it now. There's no formality like that with God. There's a reverence, make no mistake about it, but it's more informal, it's deeply personal, it's familiar, our Father. It's an intimacy of knowing and being known. As I read in the passage in Romans chapter 8, about being called Abba, Daddy, our Father. It's a child sitting on his parent's lap, just the comfort of being there. Hearing things whispered into their ears, the freedom just to be a safe place. And so there's a number of things that fatherhood, God as Father, means to us. And we may or may not get to them all today. But the first thing that I want you to understand this, that what it means is, as believers in Jesus Christ, when we place our faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, he makes us brothers and sisters together under the fathership of God. He makes us family, and it redefines what family looks like to us. And so with that, let me reintroduce to you Jerry and Nikki to come and talk about what does this mean? To redefine family, and just how easy it is. It's so easy. And they're going to share a little bit about that. About some of these things that when you pray for stuff, it's hard. Change is hard. Yeah. Thank you so much.
We'd like to start off with just sharing a passage from Philippians 2. Verse 12 to 13 that we love to turn to. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose.
I'm just going to read verse 13 again. For it is God who works in you to will and act in order to fulfill his good purpose. We look back on what we've shared with you, and all of these things fell into place and happened because it was God's will. When you follow God's will, it doesn't mean an easy ride, but as the verse says, for it is God who works in you to will and act in order to fulfill his good purpose. We had to listen and follow God's direction, for all we were going through was for his good purpose. The easy part of God's good purpose was loving our little Chloe and sharing our hearts and home with her. The harder part was loving and sharing our hearts with Chloe's mom. But because it is God who works in us to will and act in order to fulfill his good purpose, he placed a love in our hearts for this young mom. How amazing is that? The third day that Chloe was in our life was the day she had a supervised visit at the CAS building with her biological mom. That was the first of many visits that this mom regularly attended. I always took some time to chat with the mom and for a short time drove the mom home to form a relationship. At first, it was so I had an open communication with her so I knew what was going on at the visits. But eventually, it became more of a personal relationship. John 17, 20, 26. Do you have that on? There we go. I'll let Jerry read that.
My prayer is not for them alone. This Jesus' prayer is for all believers. My prayer is not for them all alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I am in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them.
The passage shares Jesus' prayer. His prayers for us as believers is to unite and to share his message to those who do not know him yet. This passage is what God willed us to do. The 18 months of having Chloe in our home gave us time to learn about this mom and learn how to love her as Christ loves her. We won't lie. There are many times this was a difficult task, but learning about where she came from and the things she experienced, God gave us grace and compassion for her as well. Like I mentioned earlier, we had raised our little Chloe for 18 months, just as God had planned. Then it was time for her to move back with her biological mom. Often in foster cases, once a biological parent has their child at home, they don't want anything to do with the foster parents. But because the relationship was made early on, Chloe's mom wanted to remain in our lives. She has allowed Chloe to continue to have weekly day visits with us, and so both Chloe and her mom remain in our lives. It has been 1 year, 2 months since Chloe has been with her mom. The mom is working hard at being the best mom she can be and is doing a great job. We pray that God will continue to use us in this mom's life, that God will give us guidance and wisdom to introduce his amazing love. She needs to understand that there is a great God who loves her unconditionally. We wanted to share with you about Chloe's mom, because what we have learned is that when you foster, you not only learn to care for this child in your home, but as Christians, we need to also care for and love the parents. Often neglect and abuse is a family cycle. Not always, but the parents of these children may have had a tough upbringing. How do you parent your child if you have had no one who loved you and shown you what healthy parenting is? It could take a foster parent who begins a relationship with them and shows them God's love. That could change things.
Pastor Dave asked Nicole and I to answer how our faith has grown through this process. And it was tough because it's grown huge, and to narrow it down was difficult. Nicole and I always thought ourselves as having great faith. But when adversities hit with wanting to adopt while fostering for another parent at the same time, our faith was tested. When we faced the challenges alone, things seemed insurmountable. But when we turned to God, he showed us the way. We began to turn to God more often, and in doing so, his plans for us became more clear. His plan did not always go the way we wanted it to go. God had a greater plan, and we needed to talk and listen in order to get on the same page as him. From this experience, we learned to turn to him with our problems. More importantly, we learned to turn to him with daily things, even when times are good. God always has a plan for his followers. We need to be in constant communication with him in order that we understand Jesus' grace and love more fully. Jesus said that the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Matthew 22, verse 37. The second, Jesus said, is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Matthew 22, verse 39. He did not say it was the easiest commandment. Mm-hmm. It's hard enough loving your own family, let alone a stranger. Fostering with the intent to adopt did not always go so smoothly. In the beginning, we were always thinking of our needs as a family. God understood our desire, but he also knew our greater capacity to love. Things were hard, but once we started allowing God to take the wheel, he gave us the signs. He had other plans. He knew we as a family had much more love to share. God did not immediately grant our desire to adopt. He did, however, guide us to pray and trust him. God had made it very clear that if we listen and believe, he would see us through. God gave our family strength. When I had my doubts, is this the right path for my family? What have I done to my family? Nicole was given greater strength. When Nicole doubted our direction, God gave me strength. By praying and talking with Jesus, Jesus provided us with the love and wisdom. Jesus made it clear for us not to judge Chloe's mom. He made it possible to clearly see her for who she was, a neighbor, a young woman with a terrible family history, a young woman with a poor and broken family cycle that went back generations, a history that left a young woman with no idea of how to be a good mom. As a family, we were able to see a woman who truly loved her daughter and who truly wanted to be a good mom. She did not know how. How can she break this cycle? God blessed us with this clarity. It made it easier for us to transition from potential adoptive parents to true foster parents, returning a child to her biological mother. Now, hopefully, we can continue by God's grace to mentor this beautiful young family. We definitely miss Chloe in our home, but she still is a big part of our lives. We ask that you pray for this family.
Our journey continues. It continues not only with Chloe and her mom, but 2.5 months after Chloe left our home on June 1st, 2015, God filled it with another, a beautiful little girl, Charlie Ann Grace. We met her when she was 4 hours old. We had the greatest experience of giving her a first bath. And spending the night in the hospital with her. June 2nd, 2015, we brought this little one back to the Smedding household. This came with great joy and also some intense emotion. Our human thoughts jump in with, will this child stay forever in our home or will it just be a short stay? But once again, we had to rely and trust in the plan God has had for us. God decided that giving us a foster daughter, God decided that giving us a forever daughter was a part of this particular plan. And on March 18th, 2016, we officially signed our adoption papers. We wanted to finish with this poem that my sister Stacy had sent to me, and the title is Adoption. Because of his great love for us, before the world began, we were chosen by God to be adopted as his child. We love because he first loved us. A pure act of faith is to care for his children just as he cared for us. Adoption is partnering with Jesus to see lives transformed. Adoption is a miracle. Thank you.
Hey, before you go too far, thank you so much for being willing to share all of this with us. So I probably have one question that I'll ask you now. And I think we've just got like 12 other people who have asked for the opportunity to ask questions as well. And so they won't. But so what would you say to somebody who is maybe before today was thinking about this, but think this is not a good time, we're not in a good space, it's too hard. What would you say to somebody who maybe came in, who's here today, and this thought has been in the back of their minds before? How do they, about getting started and about doing this? Well, how would you encourage them in that? You maybe come over here.
Yeah. If you have input, let me know. but I guess for us, it was just a real desire that God had put on our hearts. And I feel that if it's a desire that God's put on your heart, that you should follow his leading. We searched it out a little bit. Like we had said, we had gone to a couple conferences just to get some answers. It is a really big commitment that you're making. If you decide that this is something that God's leading you into, we just called the CAS, the Children's Aid Society, in where we live in Woodstock, and they directed us to, they took our address and somebody came out to our home, and they nicely just sit down, there's no strings attached, but they just went over our options and things that they're looking for, and answered any questions that we have. So,
awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good. Anything else that you think? Hey, if I had one last shot to tell these people something, this is what I would say.
Unlike at home, I'm getting to say something. Yeah. This is awesome. really, it's just as everything fell in place for us. It's praying. It's seeing what's out there. Everything just fell into place. It just kind of seemed like God had a plan, and this is the direction that he wanted us to take. So I just asked to be in communication with him, communication especially with the rest of your family, your spouses, but just talk about it. It's not an easy journey, especially the fostering side of things. It's wonderful, and there's lots of people are needed in the industry, that's for sure, but it's not easy. So I just say pray about it. God will give you the clarity. He will. He'll let you know if it's right for your family. Mm.
Yeah. Thanks. Thanks so much. And you'll be around after, right? And then people want to talk to you. So thank you so much. Awesome. Let's just show our appreciation to them once again. So I don't know if you caught this when they were talking about engaging in this. But they, as we had kind of prefaced some of the reasons why we don't pray and the fear that we have, right? The fear of having our sins exposed, the fear of pain as it relates to change, the difficulty that is involved with change, and the fear of losing control. And then the idea of prayer, and I think when Jerry spoke, he said these words that come right out of that passage in Deuteronomy chapter 5, where in recounting the story of the Israelites, Moses says this, and says, "Go near and listen to all that the Lord our God says, and then tell us whatever the Lord our God tells you, and we will listen and obey." And that's really what prayer is all about. It's about being willing to go near to God, to first listen to what he's saying, what's coming from his perspective, and then shaping our response to his perspective. and trusting Him to lead us forward. That's what prayer is all about. Often people minimize prayer by just like that drive-through window. I'll take this today, God. Okay, just drive around the corner. I'll spit it out to you. That's the way we approach it. But it's so much more intimate than that. Our Father. Our Father longs for us to draw near to Him. He longs to share His heart with us and to hear ours in return, to calm our fears and redirect our steps. But what's great, what's even greater than all of that about our Father, and another book that I'm gonna bring into the course of these next few weeks is one by Shane Claiborne. He wrote this a number of years ago called Becoming the Answer to Our Prayers. He says this, in the beloved community of our Father, the same desperate love that a mother has for her baby or that a child has for her daddy is extended to all our human family. And you kind of heard that in their story as they walk through this road, not only to love the baby, but to love the mother through the baby. And biological family, Shane Claiborne goes on to say, biological family is too small a vision. Nationalism is far too myopic. A love for our own relatives or the people of our own country is not a bad thing, he says, but our love must not stop at the border. We now have a family that transcends biology and geography. If God is our Father, then He is inviting us to a global family. And that's the challenge for us. There's so much more to say about this, and we're going to continue on with this next week. But I want to leave you with this challenge to think about as we go into this next week. And maybe, hopefully, some of you took up that challenge last week to talk to a couple of people about their perspective on prayer. And if so, I'd love to hear the responses that you've got as you listen to others describe prayer. But here's what I want you to think about, and I think that Jerry and Nicole spoke very well of this, to be open to what God would have them to do and then to follow in it. So think about this question. If you knew that God wanted to show you something or tell you something today that might be very different from what you already planned, what changes would you make in order to discover what God has for you? If you knew that God wanted to show you something today, that God wanted to tell you something today that might be very different from what you planned, what changes do you need to make in order to hear that or discover that? The Bible tells us that today is the day that the Lord has made. We should rejoice and be glad in it. He says that His mercies are new every morning. Every day is an adventurous day of discovery that God our Father looks to us as His children. He says, I can't wait for you to find out this. Can you believe that God has something for you today? What changes will you make to discover that? Let's pray together. And I'm going to give you the opportunity to spend some time with Jerry and Nicole. And then also I want to remind you just to, as you think about sharing your story with Teresa, Summer Kid Jam, you might think, hey, that's a great idea. But here's what often people think about that. Sorry, before we pray. Here's what often people think about that. That's a great idea. Somebody should do that. Was that your thought? What a great idea for the kids. Wouldn't that be good when they hear all those people tell them their story? If that was your thought, then you need to go see her. Right? There's only 12 weeks, so she should have to push people back from telling their story to the kids. That really, we have a story to tell, the greatest story ever, the story of Christ living in us. There should be no reluctance, no shame, no hesitation to tell, because it'll change their lives. It'll continue to strengthen yours. And also consider how you can be of help throughout the summer months in Summer Kid Jam, and she'll be out there for you to talk to about that. Let's pray together. Father, what a great morning together as a family to look to you as our dad. Thank you for your immense, unending love for us. Thank you for bending low, for opening your arms wide, and for making plenty of room on your lap. Thank you for holding us close and just waiting for us to be comfortable and to talk to you. Thank you for whispering to us encouragements. Thank you for being direct and challenging us in points that we need to change. But thank you most of all for never letting us out of your sight. Thank you that there's nowhere that we can go, that no amount of darkness can hide us from your love. Thank you for expanding our hearts to look to others. And I pray, Father, just as you've moved Jerry and Nicole, I pray, Father, for those who are here who have this desire in their heart, God, that you would grant them courage as they seek you, as they seek clarity. Father, increase the number of people to rescue not just children, but the people extended through those children. Break the cycle of brokenness. Break the cycle of those who feel orphaned and abandoned in our society. Help more to call you Father. Hear our prayer. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. We commit all of this to you in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen.